Welcome to the Lovemakers Podcast, your guide to navigating love and relationships, brought to you by Inner Meets Outer, and your hosts, Jade Huang and Daniel Meyer, partners both in life and in coaching. Each episode, we'll share practical tips and insights for all stages of your relationship journey. This podcast is part of Inner Meets Outer's mission to empower you with agency and gratitude, both in your love life and your life at large. So join us as we dive into the world of love together. Welcome back, lovemakers, to another episode. This is Daniel, joined here, as always, with my lovely partner, Jade.
Hi.
Jade, I have a question for you and for our listeners. Do you ever feel that you take on more than you can realistically handle? Do you ever say yes to things you know you do not want to do and then feel resentful afterwards? Do you ever struggle to make decisions for yourselves? Or find yourself in situations that are not important to you or leave you feeling drained? Or maybe you often break promises to yourself? Do any of these sound familiar to you or feel familiar to you, Jade?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, same. If you answered yes, and I think we all have answered yes to one or more of those at some point in our life, then that's a sign that you need some stronger boundaries in your life. And that's what we're here to talk about, is boundaries. What are they? What aren't they? And how can we create stronger boundaries in our relationships, in our romantic relationships, in all our relationships? All right. I want to get right into our creamy section for this week. And our creamy section is going to be, what are boundaries? How do we define a boundary? What is it and what isn't a boundary? Jade, I think you have a great definition of what a boundary is and what it looks like. Do you care to explain?
Boundaries are something I set that require nothing from other people. This is not a request or a demand. So boundaries are a limit between yourself and other people that you communicate clearly to protect you both physically and mentally. Essentially, this is more about taking responsibility for your own actions and emotions, not other people's. And it can be really tricky. When boundaries are blurry or loose, we do things that we don't want to do, often at the expense of our emotional or physical well-being.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head when you said this is distinct from a request. A request is what a boundary doesn't look like. And it's really easy, as we talked about in our last podcast, to conflate the two. If I am making a request of you, that does depend on your actions. And it's not a boundary because it's not something that I have set that requires nothing from you. We can think of it as, imagine we have a garden in our backyard and there are all sorts of critters and animals getting into our garden, eating our plants, eating our carrots, eating our tasty veggies and our peanut butter plants. Wait, is peanut butter a plant? Where do we get peanut butter? Does it grow on trees?
I think it's a tree.
Yeah, I think you're right. Peanut butter trees. Yeah, so, you know, protect your peanut butter trees. In order to do that, we don't ask the rabbits and the critters and the mice, could you please not eat my plants? Because that would be a request, and that requires them to either choose or not choose to do that action. But when we are setting up a boundary, setting up a limit between ourselves and other people, and in this case, setting up a limit between our garden and critters, we build fences. And that requires nothing from the critters. That requires nothing from the other people. We are doing the work. And we are the ones that are blocking off or setting limits between ourselves and the circumstance, or ourselves and another person.
We're not saying a request is a bad thing. There is time and place for a request and a boundary. We just want to make sure that you understand the differences between boundary and the demand or request.
In fact, oftentimes they go hand in hand. You might make a request to somebody. So you might make a request to your partner saying, hey, if you talk to me in this way when we're fighting, if you use that language, then I'm going to leave the room and I'll come back later. We can talk about it later when we both cool down. It doesn't mean you shouldn't also make a request saying, please do not talk to me that way when you're angry, right? You can do both of them. You can say, you're requesting it, but you're also setting up a limit and you're clearly communicating with the other person. If this limit is passed, then I will do this.
In your example of the boyfriend, if he continues to use bad languages when they're in a fight, doesn't that mean that he is violating your boundary?
It's not up to the boyfriend in that example to respect or not violate the other person's boundary, because it's that other person's boundary. They set it up, so it's up to them to respect their own boundaries. In other words, they need to follow through with their boundaries that they set. So in that example, the partner, if she is continuing to hear bad language from the boyfriend, needs to respect the boundary that she set and leave the room. And if you are saying, this person is not respecting my boundaries, you're not taking responsibility for the boundaries that you have set. You're leaving it up to the other person to fulfill your boundary or not. And that, frankly, just doesn't make sense. That's then a request. You've requested something and you've given them a choice to follow through or not. But that's not the case here. A boundary is a limit you set, so you need to follow through with that.
You're talking about the language of the boyfriend, but I know I watch some dramas and there are some scenes that I see and I get triggered and thinking, oh my God, how can she be in that relationship? But she can be perfectly happy. So what I'm trying to say is the boundary is very personal. So we can't read somebody else's mind. So that, how you said, it's your responsibility because it's really personal. Maybe your boundary is this much 3 meters away, but maybe for somebody else, it's a little bit further. So by blaming other people, that the other people not knowing your boundary, it is probably more of your responsibility than their responsibility to read your mind.
Yeah, it's nobody's responsibility to read your mind. And then we're going to get into this later, but clear communication when you set boundaries is a key to setting a healthy boundary. Because even if your boundary is 2 meters and that's very clear in your mind, we're just making up physical boundaries here to illustrate our points. But if your boundary is 2 meters, very clear in your mind, and someone enters that space, and then you have to all of a sudden enforce your boundary limit in whatever way that you've set that. And it could be very surprising to the other person if you just all of a sudden say, hey, you've entered my boundary space of 2 meters. I need you to leave, or I need to leave this situation. That's why we need to clearly communicate our intentions ahead of time. So it's not of all of a sudden surprise, Kapjagi, what's going on moment.
It's Kapjagi is Korean, so you might want to explain.
Suddenly something happens. Suddenly and surprising. That's what I meant. All right. Let's get into our crunchy section this week, which is all about applying boundaries to our circumstances and what that might look like.
But wait, how does someone know that they need to set boundaries?
Well, I would go back to those questions I asked at the beginning of the podcast, actually. And if you answered yes to those questions, if you have those feelings, then that's a sign that you probably need to set a boundary. And those are all really good ways that we can help ourselves become aware of when it's time to set a boundary. So that clues you into the awareness piece. So you have those feelings, you have those signs that maybe you need to set a boundary, but where do you take it from there?
Maybe they already have boundaries, but what we want to do this episode is define, but also talk about what not to do. There are so many misconceptions on boundaries. So just being aware means defining your edge. So what that means is there will be a lot of trigger points as you live your lives with other people. Then ask yourself, what am I responsible for and what is outside of my scope? and what is triggering me. So all these questions would be great way to find out where I want to work on setting healthier boundaries.
Yeah, that's great. And one thing that popped into my mind as you said, where is my scope or what am I responsible for, is when we're setting boundaries, when we're thinking about, do I need to set a boundary? What does it look like? We have to keep in mind that the boundaries we set are our responsibility. So they're our actions. They don't require somebody else to change in a certain way or become a different person or change their actions, because that would be a request. And here we're taking responsibility for our own agency in a circumstance.
I can understand what boundary means now, but when you say healthy boundaries, how do we make those?
Well, a healthy boundary has three key elements: clear communication, respect for everyone's autonomy, and they are mostly firm, but flexible when the situation calls for it. Let's look at clear communication first. What does clear communication look like with a healthy boundary? Let's take an example. Let's imagine Jade and I are having some tension in our relationship because I am mostly an introvert and Jade is a little bit more extroverted. And I think it would be easy for me to imagine a situation in which I'm getting drained because whenever I come home from work, Jade wants to do something together and spend all our free time together. And I'm more of an introvert, so I need some solo time. Jade, could you imagine something like that happening?
Yeah, definitely. Not that I don't need solo time, but I think you require a little bit more.
Right. And I can imagine it, me feeling resentful after a time, us spending so much time together and me not having my own time to do my own thing. And this is where I would need to clearly communicate with you, hey, this is how I'm feeling, and I want to set up a boundary so that I can protect my energy, right? I don't want you to change what you're doing. I'm going to set up a boundary saying, at this time, on these days, I'm going to spend some alone time. And then this is also important to be clear about when and what and the specifics of that boundary. It would not be a good idea for me to tell Jade, hey, I need to set up a boundary. I'm going to spend some alone time during the week. And then Jade is left in the lurch wondering, well, when is that going to be? Is that going to be Wednesday? Is that going to be Saturday? When's that going to happen? Right? Would you feel good if I just told you, hey, sometime during the week, I'm going to have some solo time?
Yeah, I think it depends how you say it. But if you say something like that, I would probably ask a question. Hey, do you have more specific dates or time that we can start a conversation from there? I really like if you communicate that way, because if you continue to spend time with me because you want to please me and you want to be amazing husband and you think that I have that expectation, it's your assumption, and you want to follow that and you feel resentful, I probably don't want that, because the time they're spending together, you're probably going to be thinking, I need my own time. I need my own time, right? So you're not going to be 100% present. Do I want that? No. And just because I can't read your mind and we all have different needs, I need to maybe have more connection time with you. Doesn't mean that I have to be with you all the time. But if you're clearly communicating your needs and setting a boundary, then it will be a lot easier for me to understand.
Right. And another thing we probably want to avoid here is me not having any communication if I have these resentful feelings. And then all of a sudden, it blowing up and saying, I need to have this time alone and you're not allowing me to have this time alone. And you are probably going, where is this coming from, right? Just like if you stay in a hotel, and usually if you stay in a hotel, they often have some foods or snacks in the refrigerator in the hotel, but they clearly state that if you open up this bottle, it's going to cost you $5, or if you eat this snack, it's going to be $10, and so on and so forth. But you know up front, that's the boundary. That's the limit. If I open up this bottle, it's going to cost me money. But if it didn't have those rules stated clearly, and you opened up that bottle, you drank the water, and then weeks later you get the hotel bill and you're getting charged for the water, you're getting charged for the snacks, and it wasn't clearly stated, you're like, oh my gosh, all of a sudden now I'm getting charged? All of a sudden this is coming at me?
Yeah, I see that happening a lot, especially between couples and family members or like really close friends, because we have this expectation that good husband or a good wife should be this way, or dad should be this way, or nice mom should be this way. So there are a lot of shoulds in there. So it's almost like expecting other people to read our minds. And when they don't, we complain. Then the other person might be like, I can't read mind.
For the second element, respect for everyone's autonomy. By that, I mean you set your boundaries not to change another person's actions, not to change another person, not to manipulate or control them. So in our previous example with the girlfriend and the boyfriend, she may have used a request to ask them to speak differently when they're having fights, but her boundary of I'm going to leave this room if you speak to me in this way is her respecting her own autonomy, her own agency. She's saying to herself, I don't want to be present when this is happening. So I'm going to take it into my own hands to leave the situation. And that's her boundary. She's not saying with her boundary, you need to change how you speak to me. You're not respecting my boundary when you keep on talking to me in this way. No, she's saying, I have my own agency. I have my own responsibility to leave this space. I am taking responsibility for my own energy, and I'm going to leave.
Yeah, that's a great example. And I can think of another example that some people might experience, and I'm guilty of that as well in the past. So when you start dating somebody, well, I've never dated anybody else but you, so I'm just imagining.
Wow, if only that were true. I'm glad you dated other people so you know how great I am.
Wow. Anyway, so you're dating somebody and you maybe hang out Friday night and that person stays over and you need a solo time. You need to have your own space back, but that person doesn't leave. What do you do, right? And you can do so many different things. Oh, I'm tired, or all these excuses coming up. But sometimes people don't hear, like they just haven't got a clue. So I think in this case, setting a boundary is also very important. So what does that look like? So maybe it works the best if you do it beforehand. So like before they coming over to your place, and you know, now you're aware that it's important to you, then you clearly communicate, hey, I'd like to stay tonight with you if you want. That's respecting their autonomy. And then maybe we'll have a breakfast. But from maybe around noon, I have something else to do, or I need my own time or something like that. So that's easier. But when actually that is happening in that time that you want them to leave, that might happen too. Then you will have to just come up with a clearer communication. Hey, I really like spending time with you. However, I need my own time now. Would you be able to leave? That's setting a boundary.
Except for the would you be able to leave, I think the boundary in this case could be even more firm. You don't be afraid to say, I need you to leave, right? Don't leave room. Yeah, I know we want, as human beings, we want to be nice and kind, and we want to soften that. And I think the person in this case is going to get the hint. Yeah, I should leave, even with a would. But don't be afraid to be even more firm.
Yeah. And also understand or remember that we can't control somebody else's emotion. Like even if you try the softest, kindest words, they might still get upset because maybe in their mind, asking somebody else to leave is a rude thing to do. Doesn't matter how you say it. So understand that you're responsible for your actions and your words.
Yeah, and this is where respecting the other person's autonomy comes in, because you're respecting them by giving them the right giving them the right to feel however they want to feel in reaction to whatever boundary you're setting. Setting a boundary doesn't mean you escape any consequences of the other person's reactions or the circumstances' reactions, because any actions we take have consequences. But what a boundary does is saying, when this happens, I'm going to take this action. You're in a sense choosing the consequences that you're possibly facing.
Yeah, because the boundary is for protecting yourself and potentially protecting the relationship so that you don't feel resentful. Because if you don't clearly communicate your boundaries, the other person will have to just guessing and you feel resentful. And the same thing happens for the other person. And the relationship is not going to be healthy and genuine. So even if these conversations would create uncomfortable emotions, understand setting healthy boundaries will eventually make the relationship a lot healthier. So maybe thinking about the long-term benefit for your life.
To sum it up, we respect another person's autonomy when we set our boundaries by not expecting them to change the way they feel or think or do. We are simply saying, if this happens, we are carrying through with our actions in this way. And we are respecting our own autonomy by doing that. We are not saying we are victims or passive to another person's actions or the circumstance. We are taking control and setting a boundary and saying, if this happens, then I do this.
So with the example that I had, like somebody wouldn't leave my house, would my action be, hey, I would like you to leave, but if you don't, I'm going to call the security, or I will leave my house, or something like that?
Well, hopefully it wouldn't get to that stage, but yeah, you would do that. Yeah. I don't think anybody wants to be in a situation where they are victim to another person's desire to leave their home or not. And for our third and final element, mostly firm but flexible, in a healthy boundary, this may look like, I don't know, what would it look like, Jade?
I can think of a situation where, you know, I stopped drinking a couple of years ago, and there are some situations where I'm out with my friends and they drink. And sometimes they force me to drink. They encourage me to drink. Oh, just have one. You know, don't be boring and things like that. Then my people-pleasing element comes up. And maybe thinking, oh, yeah, one won't kill me. Like, maybe I'll just have one. And how does that sound? It doesn't sound healthy boundary, right? So if you decide that you're not going to drink and you actually communicate with other people, the healthy boundary here looks like, hey, if you continuously forcing me to drink, I'm just going to leave. You guys have fun. And maybe they get upset about this because we can't control other people's behavior or emotions. But respecting your boundary looks like this. And this is firm. Whereas when you want to be flexible, is only coming from your own decision. So at the moment, I'm not drinking. But maybe in a few years' time, I decided to drink again. Then that is my own decision.
Yeah, I agree. And where the flexible part comes in are circumstances in which we don't need to be super rigid. So for example, if I'm setting a boundary with Jade and I need my alone time, and I set aside Thursdays possibly as my alone time, I'm not going to do anything with Jade. I'm going to spend it doing my own thing. But something comes up, and maybe it's family oriented even. Some family member is going through some crisis and I need to be there, or she wants me to be there rather. It would be really unfortunate if I were to say, yeah, Jade, I can't be there for this family crisis because you remember Thursdays are my solo time and I need that solo time. No, I think in this circumstance, it's okay to build in some flexibility so long as you're not going to feel resentful about it or guilty about it in the future. Your future self is not going to feel guilty or resentful about it.
Yeah, I think the boundary is more like a fence, not a brick wall. So like you said, it's firm, it's visible, it's clear, but it is also flexible. you're allowed to change your mind.
The world would be a pretty unfortunate place if we were never allowed to change our minds. We were strict with our boundaries 100% of the time. Now, Jade, I know I set a boundary with you that if you don't make me peanut butter every week, I am going to cry like a little baby until I get my peanut butter. And I figured after the first 3-4 weeks of crying like that, maybe I should work in some flexibility and give you a few extra more days to make that peanut butter. What do you think of that?
Well, are you sure that is a boundary?
It's maybe not a healthy boundary, because with that boundary, I was trying to manipulate or control your actions and have you create more peanut butter. So maybe I'll just stick to a simple request. As we were preparing for this episode and having a conversation about boundaries and what do they look like and what they don't look like in our lives, there was a lot of things that came up to me and I was like, yes, yes, I love that. I love that. That's true. I never thought about it in that way. But if I had to sum up the key takeaway for me across this whole conversation of boundaries, that would be boundaries are active, not passive. So oftentimes when we are thinking resentful thoughts, when we're not being decisive, all those questions I asked earlier in the podcast, those are all very passive oriented. We're waiting for the world to treat us or do a certain things for us, behave in a certain way for us, feel a certain way for us. But when we set our boundaries, we are taking an active role in the circumstance, in other people's, in what is happening with other people around us. We are telling the world, this is how I choose to react to this circumstance. And I love that about boundaries. It's a beautiful thing. I think often boundaries get this like negative, cold reputation, and I don't think they need to be seen in that way. I think it's a very beautiful thing to be able to take control, take agency of a circumstance by setting a boundary.
Yeah. And I think boundary is deeply related with self-worth. So whenever we feel like we're not worthy enough to have good relationship, good space, good health, these things, an example that you might struggle to set healthy boundaries. Because I remember in the past, dating other people, if I didn't have a clear boundaries, then I will take what I can because my self-worth wasn't high enough. So I would say having healthy boundaries means you're more likely to have a higher self-worth or self-concept, self-love. So it's all related to what you think about yourself, what you think you deserve. My way from this episode is the element of detaching from the outcome. So you can't control other people, no matter how hard you try.
Awesome. Yes, I love that key takeaway as well. And that also brings us to the end of season one of Lovemakers. I hope everybody listening here is looking forward to season two. I know I am. And you can all look forward to a forthcoming announcement on what that's going to look like. But for now, goodbye, everyone. Yes. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Lovemakers. Bye. If today's conversation resonated with you, don't forget to subscribe on your platform of choice. Your feedback also means the world to us. It's a moment to leave a review and let us know your thoughts. That would be amazing. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us at daniel@innermeetsouter.com or jade@innermeetsouter.com. And that's Jade with a Y. And for a regular dose of love and inspiration, make sure to check out and subscribe to Inner Meets Outer's newsletter. And you can see that at innermeetsouter.com, where we also have so many other resources that we speak about in the show. So thanks for tuning in. Until next time, keep nurturing that beautiful connection between your inner self and the outer world. We love you.